When you imagine what our future will look like, how optimistic are you? We face a lot of challenges in our relationship with ourselves and the planet. Sometimes it can seem predestined and overwhelming. Well, Monash University in Melbourne is trading on our sense of doom by kicking us awake in a pop-up exhibition called A Future Without Change. Michael McKenzie polished up his pessimism and took it along for the ride.
Right here we have two members of the public, two younger women, sitting in a gigantic white tub that goes up to my belly button, and there's numerous coloured balls, quite big ones, and then some smaller white ones. What are you representing here?
I think we're representing a world where children as young as 5 or 6 need to take their meds. So one of the ways they can take their meds to help them be happy in the day is to do it through their cereals, which is all fully sugar-coated. Yeah, I'm Kim Cornish. I'm the director of the Turner Institute for Brain and Mental Health at Monash.
What Kim Cornish is describing is a giant bowl of cereal called Depressos.
Oh, I think it's really cool. My daughter really loves it. We've been playing here for 5 minutes.
People might be enjoying playing inside it with all the different coloured balls, but that's not really its purpose. Next to it are more life-size boxes of other cereals with equally alarming names. Nobesity flakes and bet blockers that use medication buried in the product to help lose weight and change behaviour around gambling.
Already I feel somewhat depressed at the fact that antidepressants may be administered in this way. Is what you're proposing with this exhibition as we wander through it what's possible or what's probable?
It's what's possible.
So is this a warning shot across the bows of policymakers?
It's a warning shot, particularly on the back of the Commission for Mental Health in Victoria. Early interventions has been the one thing that has come up time and time again. And it's not about early interventions from youth onwards. It's about early intervention in our kids as they start school for the first time.
And if they don't do that early intervention, you're proposing that people will have on their supermarket shelves as parents boxes of what's called antidepressants.
No, maybe not quite so literal as that. But you will have children who will not be able to have brains resilient enough to cope with the pressures around them, whether it's social media in young children or whether it's just not being able to cope with everyday life and the children in the classroom and all that surrounds them, all of the stimuli that surrounds them. And what you want is for them to enjoy learning, enjoy going to school. And for those children that do have severe clinical problems, there's always that help. There's always those options, but it shouldn't be an option for every single child.
The recurring theme for this dystopian future is if you don't like it, then change it. For example, how long are you prepared to wait to see a doctor? Because according to Monash University, that appointment calendar in a future Australia could really blow out.
I'm about to go into virtual reality. What's about to happen?
You're about to experience the overburdened health system. So it'll just ask you to scan your hand and it'll scan your DNA and basically tell you if you're healthy or not.
So I've just put the virtual reality headset on and it says, welcome, place hand here for diagnosis.
Left hand.
I'm actually standing now in a virtual hallway. Oh, here we go. So here's my automatic diagnosis of my mortality. It says, you're suffering from fever. Your wait time is 12 years, 6 months, 24 days, 5 hours, 38 minutes, and 55 seconds and counting. Enter disease-free. So if I enter disease-free, I'm being directed to pod 30471. I'm going downstairs in a virtual lift. It's quite freaky, because I know everybody else is just watching me. Wow! I'm now in a dark subterranean vault through my VR goggles. Gee, this vault's deep. I'm suffering from depression. I'm now waiting for my pod to come out from this dark grey wall towards me. And the lid goes up and it's asking me to step in.
Are you being cryovac'd?
Oh, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think you're being frozen.
I'm being frozen.
Because, you're waiting for however many years. So you need to be frozen in order to wait for your appointment, I believe.
The conversations that are happening now in the mainstream are not engaging every generation and are not engaging people in the possibility of research and education in intervening in some of these issues. And I think we need to propel that. We need to look at what a university's role is in society. Fabian Moroney, Chief Marketing Officer at Monash University.
So is there a danger, can I ask, of this exhibition proposing perhaps worst case scenarios, that some of the school children and students who come to this, along with adults, will feel even less optimistic about the future?
So we're just identifying issues in a way that we feel generations and different audiences will engage with. Black Mirror we have out there, we have The Handmaid's Tale. This is something that culture is building around and people are starting to digest and discuss, and that's a blended way of how we're communicating and engaging people.
Absolutely, but dystopia is entertainment and dystopia is a lived experience, are two very different things.
I think that sparking a debate around the potential future without intervention is a call to action for people to come in and look at ways to intervene, because we're all responsible for the future. It's not just this generation, it's not just the generation after or the generations that have been. Collectively, we need to make some change, and Monash is proposing that we change it, and this will never be the reality.
What does feel really very real right now is the prospect of our air quality facing continuing enormous threats from more frequent and more intense bushfires, not to mention thunderstorms that drive pollen into our lungs. Monash University proposes that if we don't find ways to curb those threats, maybe every backyard will have one of these.
I'm essentially in a gigantic Perspex clear greenhouse with fake lawn, two fans directing air at me. I've got two deck chairs and coloured beach balls to try and give me a sense that I'm outdoors. Oh, something's going on. I've just been warned that the air outside is too dangerous to breathe, so that's why I had to stay inside my own backyard.
You know what, I'll tell you a very interesting thing. I come from New Delhi, which is probably the most polluted city in the world, so it's actually there. So like, that's the reason why I can totally connect with this one.
So is it very hard for you to walk around in New Delhi a lot of the time because of the air?
To be honest, if I give you figures, it's probably 400 times more polluted than Melbourne. So it's like, even if you don't touch a cigarette, so it's like smoking 40 to 50 cigarettes a day, which is like really harmful. And life expectancy is being cut to like around 7 to 8 years. So it's probably a medical emergency situation that's happening over there. It's terrible. It's kind of terrible. But we need more initiatives from the youth and people to, you know, provide some alternatives wherein, like, because it's really affecting the locals.
We've come into a different part now. This is
My Slave, and it basically works like many other connection apps, like the Tinder for slavery, or trying to connect you to other people, the Facebook, the Instagram for slavery, where you can swipe through to select your slave.
So in front of me is what is a giant mimicry of a smartphone, and on the app I'm looking at an older woman who would be, I'd say, 60 plus, and she's smiling gently into my eyes. She's wearing a purple pullover and a purple skirt, and it says, "This slave has spent years in indebted servitude with a high level of stamina. She can work from dawn to dusk." This is a teenage boy. He'd probably be about 17 or so. He looks highly distrustful of me, and why wouldn't he? He's got his arms folded as well. Then I have a younger girl, enslaved at 5 years old. This slave only understands hard work. With years of labour ahead of her, she is an exceptional investment opportunity.
To make sure this never happens, Monash researchers across the arts, business and law faculties are working with international organisations to influence and change legislation and business practices concerning migrant labour exploitation, human trafficking and modern slavery.
It is quite confronting, isn't it? Because you've got what just seem to be everyday people wrapped up in a world they can't get out of.
Yeah. And the fact that it's been normalised through sort of Tinder swipe right process makes it even more insidious and evil.
It does. It's been an interesting experience as people are drawn to screens, they interact with screens how they're used to interacting with screens, and then they start seeing the descriptions of the sorts of people that we actually know are embroiled in slavery practices around the world, and you see it dawn on them that we might think slavery is a thing of the past and have it dawn on them that it actually happens around us and that we need legislation and that we need all sorts of things looking into this. You can see a somberness come across their faces.
We actually had this activation at our open day on Clayton campus. So we had 70-odd thousand people at our Clayton Open Day, and a proportion of those came through the exhibit, and My Slave was there. So you were seeing people come through this activation, and then when they left, they could talk about how they wanted to change it. And we actually did some research into if it made people feel positive, negative, helpless. And the majority of it was about being empowered to create a solution. There's always a proportion that don't feel that way, but the majority, an overwhelming majority, was the positive impact that could be made through research and education.
And that all sounds rather heartening, but it actually raises other questions for me.
Isn't there a danger too that these kind of interactive displays make people feel momentarily concerned and then they feel like they've done their duty?
It's actually really interesting that you mentioned that. We've brought this campaign throughout the world, and we've just recently brought it to Indonesia. And the bedrock of this campaign, if you don't like it, change it, we've actually put over there is don't just share it, change it. Because we understand that a lot of people will go on, you know, change.org, and they might put $5 in and they've said, I've done my job. Or they'll tweet about it, or they'll put something on Facebook and they think, okay, job done, let's forget about it. This is actually saying, those are some ways of highlighting issues. They're certainly contributing financially and sharing and creating awareness. But as a university, we believe you create real change through education and research. Come and study at Monash, and you can actually learn under the people that are making these changes.
Can I come back again and say, well, there's some people who are going to be totally concerned about what they see here, but don't have the educational resources, the money, the finances, even the results to end up at where you want them to be, which is your university. So what message do you impart to them that they can be part of the solution?
As universities begin to really accept the grand challenges facing us, then we are bringing our communities into us, whether they are low socioeconomic groups, whether they are clinical populations, whether they are teachers in a kindergarten, to come in and help us inform our research as we then move that research into the community to have impact.
Do you know him?
Yeah. Oh, he's my boyfriend. He's really into it, I think.
I think so too. Have you had a look around the exhibition? I'm from the ABC, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite eye-opening.
What does it make you think about?
Just like, I feel like in a lot of these areas, we're actually on our way there. Like that bubble, I could totally see that being a thing.
What would you like to see happen so that change can occur?
I just really feel like the politics need to change, because there is a lot of science on how we can stop these things from happening, but not enough action on it, I think.
How do you feel about Australia and the way it operates?
I think it's really interesting because there's a sense of community here and a lot of protests and demonstrations and people really trying to get like the state to change things, which I haven't really seen in Sweden as much.
Which is where you're from?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like Sweden is one of the more advanced countries in thinking about this?
We're really in the forefront when it comes to technology and working towards sustainability and such, but I feel like the people take it kind of for granted and are kind of relaxed about it. It's like, eat more vegetables and we'll be fine, because like things are happening. But yeah, here I feel like people have this sense of urgency more.
Maybe that's because we know we got further to go.
Maybe.
Do you feel empowered to help make change?
Definitely. I am really interested to see, like, hear about how these things can be changed or prevented, and see how I can contribute as well. Yeah.
So. Are you here to study?
I'm actually here just on a working holiday.
Oh, great. Where are you working?
I'm a dog sitter, walking dogs.
And you clean up their poo?
Of course.
Well, you are helping to make change then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you don't like it, change it. That is the message from Monash University as it tries to engage all of us in contributing to a better, more humane world. And you can find more details and photos on that project on the Life Matters website, including links to the project you've just heard.